still searching for a deal to raise the federal debt ceiling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Vice President Biden will meet with members of Congress again this week to try and reach a deal to raise the federal debt ceiling. The Treasury Department has said the nation will start defaulting on its obligations if there's no deal by August. But on ABC News yesterday, White House economic advisor Austin Goolsbee had this warning for lawmakers who want to push the debate right up to the limit.
This is not an alarm clock. It would be extremely dangerous to get right up to the edge. Or you've seen some people even saying, well, it'd be okay if we defaulted for a short period. That's not true. We shouldn't do that. We should resolve this.
Now, last week on this show, we spoke with Jared Bernstein, the former chief economist for Vice President Biden, about this issue. This morning, we're pleased to welcome conservative economist Douglas Holtz Aiken, who heads the American Action Forum. Welcome to Marketplace.
Happy to be here.
Well, you think that Congress will raise the debt ceiling in the end. What do you think is going to be necessary for them to do that?
I think that in order for it to happen, there will have to be associated with it some real cuts in spending, both in the near term and then some changes to the long-term entitlement programs, the big one being Medicare, which would demonstrate to financial markets that we're serious about the real core problem.
Do you have a ballpark figure in terms of how big those cuts might end up being?
The Speaker of the House, John Boehner, has said that he would like to see more in cuts than the increase in the debt limit, and so that gives you a ballpark. If you want a bigger debt limit increase, you need more cuts.
We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars.
I think there's no question the U.S. problem is a trillion-dollar problem. So anyone who's playing with small billions is in the wrong ballpark.
Would conservatives like you accept tax increases as part of the deal?
There's no real intellectual case to be made for the tax increases. If you look around the globe at countries that have a simultaneous growth problem, and we have a very bad growth problem, and a budget problem, the recipe for success has been to keep taxes low and then cut spending on transfer programs and government employment. That really is a playbook that the U.S. should run and be much more successful.
Well, some people would disagree with that, but the argument that would be made is if the poor are going to have to suffer in terms of cuts to services they rely on, why shouldn't the rich also have to suffer a little bit in terms of paying some more taxes?
Raising taxes is not going to be good for growth, period. And so the question then is, can you have a balanced package of spending restrictions, which affects both the affluent and the poor? And the answer, of course, is yes.
If you look overseas, you see the United Kingdom, which enacted steep cuts to get their deficits under control, and their economy is now shrinking. Isn't that evidence that if we make big budget cuts, that's exactly what's going to happen here?
Well, I think if you look at what we're doing right now, we're perilously close to being in that position anyway. So what we really have to do is build a stronger foundation for jobs, and sailing directly into what the president's chairman of his fiscal commission said was the most predictable crisis in history. We will have a financial crisis if we don't change course. That has to be the right thing to do for the American economy.
Douglas Holtz Aiken, president of the American Action Forum, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, the International Monetary Fund has agreed to loan Egypt $3 billion. Following the uprising there, the country faces huge deficits and at the same time, big demands for social spending, as the BBC's John Lyon reports from Cairo.
The $3 billion loan from the IMF is just one of a series of cash infusions. Saudi Arabia has already given $4 billion in grants and loans. The United States has pledged $2 billion. Qatar says it's going to invest $10 billion. But Robert Mabro, director of the Middle East Centre at St Anthony's College, Oxford, is sceptical about whether the IMF deal will shore up the gaping hole in Egypt's finances.
The sums are too big, the benefactors are not that generous, and the political pressures are quite strong.
Vital tourist revenue is down, and for a time, much of the country's economy ground to a halt. At the same time, the new government has increased the minimum wage and pledged to spend more money on housing, health and education. In Cairo, I'm the BBC's John Lyon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower across Europe and Asia this morning, more than 1% down in Tokyo, just a fraction in London right now. It was all about that weak jobs report on Wall Street Friday. The Dow fell 97 points to close at 12,151.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Today, American TV networks are bidding for the broadcast rights to the 2014 and 2016 Olympic Games. NBC has carried the torch since 2000, but as Jennifer Collins reports, the Peacock's run may be over.
NBC reportedly lost more than $200 million on the Vancouver Olympics. Part of it could have to do with awkward programming.
The sport of curling, the sport which involves pushing that granite stone towards a bullseye, has been on CNBC for more than 30 hours so far.
And that was one of the Business Channel's own reporters. Now Disney and News Corp are also vying for the games. Sports economist Rodney Paul says Disney, which owns ABC and ESPN, may have an edge.
Given how well-branded the different networks are within ESPN's family, there's a much greater chance that ESPN gets it than the previous time this bidding took place.
Porter Bibb of MediaTek Capital Partners says Disney has another advantage.
Only a Disney can make a profit by all of the ancillary revenue streams that the Olympics can create for them.
Think theme park rides, retail sales. Bid says the Olympic Committee needs to pick well. If the games lose money again, the next round's bids may not be as high. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally to Germany, where a Sweet 16 party got a little out of control over the weekend. The birthday girl put out an invitation on Facebook, and 15,000 people RSVP'd yes. More than 100 police officers showed up to disperse the crowds. The birthday girl fled the scene. A police spokesman said, quote, "Unfortunately, she forgot to mark the celebration as private." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
California is trying to come up with a plan to fix its overcrowded prisons. There's talk of shifting some inmates from state prisons to county jails, but that costs money.
If the funding is not approved, L.A. County cannot provide the necessary beds for the transfer of these inmates.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Arrested plans next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.